Okay, let's get started. I am Kelly Monahan, owner of HomeTravelAgency.com and the author of Home-Based Travel Agent. And our guest tonight is Joe Mazzarella, who is the president and CEO of Travel Sciences Incorporated, a web-based enterprise solution for travel businesses, which has headquarters right here in my home state of Connecticut. And I met Joe at the recent travel agent conference that OSSN put on in Atlantic City. And I think this illustrates one of the really good reasons for going to these conferences, because I met Joe during the trade show portion of the conference, and I don't know that I would have stumbled across what he's up to had I not gone. And it's really a, to me at least, a very, very intriguing idea that these folks have come up with, and a very interesting, and I think from our point of view, a very attractive business plan. And when I say our point of view, I'm talking about home-based travel agents. Joe is in the customer relations management business, and for those of you who might not know what that means, it means simply using technology, computers, a computer program, to keep track of your customers and to manage your interactions with them. And up to now, having a customer relations management solution for your home-based travel agent business meant purchasing a software program, which you would install on your computer and learn. And the new wrinkle here with Travel Sciences is a product called Open Travel CRM, which is a customer relations management program, but instead of being something that you purchase and install on your computer, you access it over the Internet. And the other thing that I find really fascinating about this is that it doesn't cost you anything, unlike the program that you install on your computer, which you have to buy. You can use Open Travel CRM without paying anything. So I think this is going to prove to be a very interesting conversation this evening. So without further ado, welcome, Joe. How you doing?
Well, thank you, Kelly, and thanks for inviting me on.
Terrific. You're staying warm up there in Hartford?
It's chilly. It's getting chilly.
Yeah, exactly. I just popped out to grab a bite to eat, and I discovered that myself. Let's start off by, why don't you fill us in on what Open Travel CRM is?
Well, thanks again, and thank you all for attending at 9 o'clock at night. I'm glad to be here. Open Travel CRM is a relatively new product, as Kelly had indicated. It's a customer relationship management tool, and it's made available online for free to the travel agent community. What it does is enables you to store your customer contact information and their profile information, including things like their travel preferences and the programs that they're members of, frequent flyer or frequent guest programs, as well as storing off a whole host of other information, including their prior travel history and upcoming itineraries, et cetera. As part of that solution, we have a mid-office and back-office component as well, which enables you to build itineraries, customize those itineraries, as well as send out custom invoices and track commissions and the like. The system is set up so that you can integrate that with a fairly cheap and inexpensive full-fledged accounting system, which is QuickBooks, which is, I think you charge, it's about $99 for a one-time fee, and it provides you with a great solution for a small business accounting system. In addition to that, we have a whole variety of other tools that are designed to help you stay engaged with your customers and help you build business, which includes things like integrated marketing. We have an integrated marketing suite that enables you to build customized campaigns that you can put your own content into and your own logo and send those out via bulk email or through your own email account directly to your customers, as well as enabling you to build customized list, so you can slice and dice your customer data list by different criteria and enable you to really match your offers with your clientele. So I think that pretty much gives you a pretty quick description or overview of it. Some people say, well, is it like client base or TRAMS or client ease? And the answer is yes, it is. But we like to think it's hopefully a little bit more engaging and advanced. And, you know, it is available online.
Well, now, let's pause here and just let folks know that TRAMS and client base and client ease are three off-the-shelf computer programs, correct?
That's correct.
In other words, it's software that you buy and install on your machine.
That's correct. I believe that both client ease now and client base do have web versions of their product, which enables you to access them over the internet. So they have you know, expanded their offerings. In the case of client base or slash TRAMS, that is a product which is offered and sold by Sabre now. And the client ease is another program that's available for a charge out there at a desktop fee.
I see. Now, those have you mentioned that your program interfaces with QuickBooks.
That's correct.
And my understanding is that client base and TRAMS, at least, they have that sort of that back office accounting function built into the program. Is that correct?
That's correct. In the case of client base and their complementary product, which is called TRAMS, is basically an accounting system that was created for travel. It, in our opinion, is not as robust as some of the accounting systems that are available generally that provide, you know, enhanced accounting functions that you'd normally want to have with a small business. But in that particular instance, there's also a charge for that component as well. Mm-hmm. So the thing that we had found in coming up with what might be considered a fairly unique offering in the market today was that for the vast majority of agents in the marketplace, there isn't really a solution available to them that's a reasonable or cost-effective solution. And, you know, it was one time asked me, you know, what do you see as your competition? I said, our competition is really, you know, paper, because there isn't something in the market that's affordable, reasonable, and designed to really meet the needs of what I consider, you know, a vast portion of the agent market. And so our goal was to say, let's just turn the model on its head. Let's provide a high quality solution for free. And you know, the next question that often arises, well, there's no such thing as free, so how do we do that?
Well, I was just about to ask that.
That's right. It's a very common question, and you know, the way that we do this is, and I'm sure this will probably ring some bells in people's minds, but we like to call it like a Google model. In today's world, the way that software is delivered is changing radically across many market segments, Google is an example of that, where there are plenty of applications and different services that are being provided for free to various sectors and the general public as well, and they're supported by advertising models. In our particular case, Kelly, the way we're doing it is we're providing advertising along the top, the side, and the bottom of each page, and it's for travel-specific advertisements from suppliers. So what we'd like to say is, since the agents are out there selling the suppliers' products, it would be nice for them to advertise in that same medium and provide support so that agents can have a great tool to use.
Aha. Uh-huh. Now, so it's not the kind of thing where every time I log on, I have to sit through an advertisement before I can get down to business.
No, it's not that at all. One of the requirements that we did impose, and I tell you, we've had some pushback from advertisers a little bit, but we've remained pretty steady about how we feel about it, is we're not going to allow real intrusive advertising where, you know, the kind of thing where you get into a page and all of a sudden it's taken over by an advertisement and you can't click off of it and all that nonsense. So these are pretty, what I'll say is carefully placed advertisements that, you know, you can see they're conspicuous, but they're not impairing your ability to do business because their fundamental principle is we want it to be a friendly and usable piece of software, business software.
What about email marketing? Does this mean that if I sign up with this service that I'm going to be receiving a lot of supplier email in addition to the 1,003 emails I already get from suppliers every day?
That's a great question. We actually don't provide email. We don't allow supplier inbound email marketing. So all the marketing you'll see from suppliers will be contained within the application. And we'll also be non-intrusive. So we're not going to try and bombard people with advertising. Now, the next natural question, though, which, you know, is very common now, or a more common service, is agents are interested in receiving supplier offers. And that's one thing that we will be expanding into, which is, I think, we'll do it in a pretty powerful way, which is as suppliers provide, you know, daily offers or specials, what we'd like to do is bring them into the application into a location where agents can access them, but not in the way that it's done today where they're just kind of shotgun and sent out there and you got to pick through 1,000 different emails and, you know, some of the programs that are available now allow you to basically take there's services, in essence, out there now that allow supplier ads to be basically sent out on your behalf with your logo directly to your customer base. Now, that's kind of a neat service, but when you think about it in terms of customer relationship management, it may not be ideal because you want to be able to tailor your message and provide very custom content and relevant information to your clients rather than actually ending up being a relay point and just bombarding your customer with things that may not be relevant. What we're going to be doing, I think, is taking the concept where suppliers provide daily offers. And what we're going to do is we're going to actually match them up with the profiles in your account, and you'll be able to basically see if there's an offer in from Sandals and you've got somebody in your customer database that kind of matches that criteria. We'll say, here's some recommended customers that appear to meet that. Would you like to send out an offer or not? And that puts the agent back in control of the relationship as opposed to suppliers.
Wow, that's really interesting. I think that it's one of the most powerful opportunities out there for active home-based agents. Obviously, people just getting started are going to have to build up a clientele first. But I know there have been I've met a number of agents who have an extensive client list, and they've gotten to the point where they make a good living simply by looking at the emails that are coming in and saying, oh, here's a golf offer, and I can go into the database that I myself created and find everybody who's a golfer and send them an email asking if they're interested. But
absolutely.
What this solution does, that's all done for you, essentially.
Yeah, that will
plus,
be our...
Plus the supplier is providing a nice, slick-looking email that you can customize and send out, correct?
That's correct. And that piece will be probably coming in the next, I would say, 60 days, in that kind of time frame. We've tried to do it in a way, I think, because we could have rushed into it and just said, okay, here's a bunch of supplier emails, you know. And I just don't think that what we've been trying to do is really think about things in a way that's going to make them more useful for agents and help them maintain control over their customer relationships, you know, and really provide a good service. So you know, that's kind of been our aim and our goal. And a lot of the tools that we have built into the product hopefully are aimed at doing that.
Mm-hmm. Now, we talked about incoming email, but let's get back to talking about outgoing email, in other words, email that's coming from the agent to the agent's clients. Now, you mentioned you have bulk email built into this. How does that work?
Yes, that's a good question. We've actually had some questions about this. There are kind of two ways you can contact your customer through our system. One of the ways that we've done this is we have a fully integrated web email product built into Open Travel CRM. So if you have an existing account, like a Hotmail account or an AOL or Yahoo or one of those kind of accounts, and you've been using that particular address for a while, we provide you with a way where you can configure that email inside of Open Travel CRM so that you can send out emails from the system, and they'll look like they're coming through Yahoo or whatever account you have. And also, when email comes back, it will be delivered back into the system, and if the emails are associated with particular customers in your database, those emails actually get stored off in your communications profile relating to each customer as well. So we've tried to take the concept of email as a form of communication and integrate that into the customer profile record as well.
Right. Second, now, let me just clarify something. It looks like it's coming from my Hotmail or my Yahoo account.
Correct.
But it's not really, because I know all of those free email services restrict the amount of mail you can send out using that account.
That's correct.
For obvious
reasons. Yeah, that's one of the things that we tried to take into account, and we tried to do it in a way where, the free email services are very popular, particularly with home-based agents, and they do have limitations, and that's a great point, Kelly. But in the same token, we wanted to make sure that we accommodated that process. And we also offer an upgraded professional email offering as well for a small fee. Well, I think it's $2.99 a month, which gives you basically, a professional email address as well as, without any ads embedded in it. That's available as well. The third thing we do have.
Let me stop you there. Does that suggest that the regular email you send out, if I'm sending out an email to my clients about a cruise or something, that there will be an ad embedded in it?
Typically, I believe in the AOL and Hotmail. And
oh, okay.
Yahoo
only
account.
If you're using one of those.
Yeah,
those
exactly.
Services.
Exactly.
But I could configure an email through email campaign through Open Travel CRM that would appear to be coming from my domain name.
That's correct.
Okay,
now,
and obviously there would be no ads other than my own that
right.
would be embedded in that.
That's correct.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yep, and then we, as part of that service, we do have a thing called a bulk email service, which, again, is not necessary to use the system, and this is one of the areas that I'd like to be clear about for everybody. One of the things that we've done is I think, try to be as open and direct as possible about everything that we have. In the case of bulk email, the way that bulk email works is we offer that service. We actually use a third-party email server to deliver that email. It looks like it's coming directly from the user, but it's actually coming from a different location. And the reason we do that is actually to protect the business email address. And we do have to charge for that because there's a charge for us, but we've tried to make it extremely minimal, as minimal as possible. And the way that works is essentially anytime you exceed about 25 emails in one email delivery, you have to be careful because you're running a risk of being labeled a spammer. And if you were to do that directly from your own account that you've been using routinely for your business, and that gets labeled as a spammer because somebody might report you accidentally or not understand it was coming from you, whatever it might be, that email address can end up getting blacklisted. And if that happens, then all of a sudden your communications with your customers stop. And that's happened on occasion to some people. And it's something that, the investment in using a bulk email server is well worth in that particular case, because in the case where there is some possible issue about whether you were spamming, which I presume people don't do intentionally, particularly among your group, but if that were to occur, that's not going to impact your primary email address. I don't know if I'm that make sense to everybody?
I think so. What you're saying, and that was one of the questions on my list, was how you protect both yourself and your clients, the travel agents who use your service, from spam accusations. But as I understand it, you can send out a small number of emails using one method, but if you're going to be doing more than 25 at a time, you should use this other method that
yep.
Requires payment of a fee?
That's our recommendation. I mean, obviously,
right.
You can choose to not follow that and assume some risk that you may end up with a problem. But what we wanted, again, to do is to provide a method where people felt comfortable and not have to worry about their
right.
Professional email
just
being blocked.
It's interesting, and it's a lesson that people have to learn as they grow their business. I mean, I certainly had to learn it when I got my first DSL line, and which is, DSL services are marketed aggressively to small home-based businesses, and that's, you have all this broadband capability, but once you've paid for it and set it up, you discover that they really don't want you to use it. So, I ran into that, you can't send more than 25 emails at a time, and that's just absurd for a business. I mean, you have to have the ability to do that. So most of us, I think, realize sooner or later that you're going to have to, pay for some sort of system that allows you to do bulk email in a responsible way without that running into these problems. And unfortunately, what happens is you'll have customers and clients who say, I'd be more than happy to receive your offer, and then 30 seconds later they forget about that.
Exactly.
And when they get your offer, they think they're being spammed and they complain. So
exactly right.
You've built in some safeguards to help people navigate that.
That's right. And the cost is about 2 cents an email. So it's, if you're sending out 100 emails, that's $5, I think.
Right.
So it's a reasonably affordable process. And
speaking of emails, let's get another thing. Obviously, you're going to, when you use this product, when a travel agent uses this product, they are putting all of the information about all of their clients on your servers.
That's correct.
Including their clients' emails.
That's correct.
Are you going to use those emails to contact those folks?
Great question, and I'm glad you raised it, Kelly. We don't. Absolutely. It's one of the rules that we have, and it's part of our privacy policy and agreement, which is we do not, will not use any customer information for any kind of direct marketing. So you will not be seeing any kind of supplier offer or any other kind of offer coming direct from a supplier to any of your customers. We don't use, and we respect the fact that that information is and will always be owned by the agent user. So,
right, and I assume the same applies to suppliers. I mean, I don't have to worry about my suppliers going after my customers, at least not through Open Travel VRM, right?
Yeah, that's the answer is absolutely. We do not give any information to suppliers, or sell it or lend it to them or anything else.
Right.
That information is owned, controlled, and confidential to each registered user.
Right.
And, I know that in the past, particularly with GDSs a little bit and some other services, there's been some issues with that, and that was very important on our minds to make sure that people felt comfortable in knowing that we're not going to give out any of that competitive information to anybody.
Right. Now, what about protecting the information just in and of itself? In other words, how do you protect against crashes and loss of data and all that kind of good stuff?
Okay, that's a great question, too. You got a lot of good questions, Kelly.
I've been wrestling with this problem. I can't begin to tell you how many programs of one sort or another I've gone through and how many problems I've had implementing them. So, It all comes from experience.
Yeah, well, certainly. We have a couple. There's a couple of different things, safeguards in place for that. First thing I'd like to make sure everyone understands is that you always have access to your information. In other words, within our application, you'll see in various locations an export to Excel button. So any kind of information, whether it's your contacts, your lists, what have you, you can always export down into your local system. That's the first thing.
So that means, like, everything. I mean, I could maintain my own backup of what I have on your server on my computer and put it on a CD and file it away.
Exactly. So you have that protection there. I know that issue has been raised by some people saying, well, what if I want to get my information back? So we fully recognize that and have tried to accommodate that, so there shouldn't be an issue with that.
Okay.
The second thing is obviously just basic security issues. The first thing we do is we have these servers located in two secure locations. So one, I think, is in Chicago, and the other one's out on the West Coast. And they provide both redundancy, and they're also in secure high bandwidth locations, so you have high availability. We put them with one of the leading hosting companies that provide these kind of services, so you have multiple access to communications facilities. It's got backup power. It's got secure, secure locks and all that kind of stuff. So it's a fairly secure environment. But in addition to that, even the physical security, we also have logical security built into the system itself. So when you are sending information, for example, like credit card information, for example, or storing that off, we take that information, and that is encrypted in the database. So even if somebody were somehow able to hack into the system and access it would be scrambled and they couldn't unscramble it. And we also have traditional layers of security in the system. You might see that like HTTPS, which is basically a secure method of transferring information over the web, which, again, encrypts that information so somebody can't tap into it and steal it. So we've applied all the best practices that we can to that process to protect that information, and we've made that a main priority. The final thing I'd like to say on that point is, because this question has been raised on occasion, and do we mix customer information together? In other words, if I have agency A and agent B, are somehow those customer profiles or financial information linked together or somehow mixed together? And the answer is absolutely not. Every single registered account has its own partition space, which is protected from everybody else. So nobody else can see anybody else's information.
Right. So it's sort of like your neighborhood storage facility. Your sofa isn't going to be in somebody else's storage locker, right?
That's right.
I have one other little technical question, and I may be the only person who's concerned about this, but what about browser compatibility? I've had some issues with some other products that will go unnamed with web-based, but have browser compatibility issues.
Okay. Again, we've done some pretty exhaustive testing. We've tried to make it what they call platform neutral, or browser neutral. So it's been tested with IE, Internet Explorer. It works with Firefox. We've tested it for that, and it works with that. And it also works with Safari, which is actually a Mac based browser. In fact, we had one customer call us all ecstatic because he could actually use it on his iPhone because the iPhone happens to run the Safari browser. So we have a fairly generic and accessible platform that should work with most browsers. Now,
well, as a Mac user, I find that very reassuring.
Well, I can tell you, it was a surprise to me that there's somebody out there. He says, "Hey, I can access the application through a mobile iPhone. It's amazing."
Right. Well, of course, that's that's another reason. If people are sitting out there wondering, "Well, why would I want to do this as opposed to having it all on my computer?" The great thing about having a web-based application, when it works, is that you can access it from anywhere. I mean, if you're without your computer and you're in Tibet, you can go into an internet cafe in Lhasa and get access to your customers.
That's right.
Yeah. Let's move on to another field. This is obviously, I think, at this point, we know that we can use this program to store all this information about our clients, who they are, where they are, what their travel preferences are, and what our history with them has been, you know, what we've emailed them and so forth and so on. What about booking? Can you book things? Can you interface it with some sort of booking system?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Well, there's a couple different ways that our philosophy that we've taken, again, is probably a little bit different from the rest of the world regarding booking. We have made a decision to really open up as much as possible our solution so that we can have as many booking sources as possible. And those are going to come in a couple different ways if you were to look inside of our application. And there are what we call direct connections where you can book electronically through a GDS. In our particular case, we have Galileo available. We'll be making the other GDSs available in due course. In addition to that, another very common way of booking is going direct to travel partner sites for various suppliers. So we've made, you know, quite a few of those available with a neat feature, which is, if anybody knows client base or TRAMS, it would be similar to a Live Connect thing, where you can go out to, like, an RCCL site, a travel partner site, log in with your credentials. When you make that booking, we will actually pull that booking information back into our system automatically.
That is, if you go to the RCI site through your system.
Yeah, if you went to, we have it set up for Sandals, for example, and for RCCL and a variety of other providers. And, you know, we'll continue to add to that. We have it for, I think, NCL, GoGo, Vacation Access, you know, TNT Travel Impressions, Disney, American Airlines Vacations, and a couple other major, and we'll keep expanding that list.
Wow. Now, does the travel agent have to set up the relationship with these various supplier booking engines separately, or can you do that through you?
We have tried to actually have the agents do it themselves. And the reason being is we don't want to interfere with the agents and the relationships they have with their suppliers. Again, our primary principle, Kelly, is to stay neutral to suppliers. We don't want to create a bias system and get into the situation that has arisen with other systems, frankly, where due to various economic incentives and, you know, behind-the-scenes payments, you know, certain suppliers are in the systems and others aren't. The idea behind the system is to provide agents with a great tool and provide as much access to supplier content, wherever it's from, as best we can, you know, within our environment. And the reason being, we think that the best product should win, and we want to have as much stuff on the grocery shelf, so to speak, as we can. And I think that's going to enable agents to have a better ability to serve their customers.
Right. So in other words, I can't use Open Travel CRM as a way of getting around whatever eligibility requirements a supplier might have.
That's right.
Now, in other words, I have to prove my industry standing to the supplier and get them to, you know, agree to let me use their system. But once I've done that, I can then access it through Open Travel CRM, and then everything I do with it, your system captures and records, and it's there for me for future reference.
That's right. Now, there will be suppliers.
Wow. That's really neat.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
And now, you have to, though, your organization has to have established that connection with the supplier.
That's correct.
In other words, if I have a relationship with a supplier you've never even heard of, I can't just call up their booking engine through Open Travel CRM. It has to be
correct.
From a menu of ones that you've already created a working relationship with.
That's true. However, I will tell you this. We have also built into the system basically a manual entry system. So if you were to call, you know, some small boutique hotel in Italy, who can't find anywhere, for example, and you were to make a reservation, whether it's over the phone or the internet or some combination of that process, we do have entry screens so you can enter that information, store off your commission information as well as the booking detail, so that can then be put basically onto an itinerary to send to your
client.
Well,
if you find a small boutique hotel in Italy that pays a connection or a commission, I'd like to know about it.
All right, maybe not such a good example, but
more likely you'll be entering in your fee.
There you go. That's the other piece of what we do, obviously, is as part of the itinerary process. Any bookings that you do record or are recorded for you if they're done automatically, that information shows up as segment information on an itinerary. One of the cool things we've done with the itinerary, by the way, which I think was really pretty exciting, is we created an itinerary. We call it slide and hide, which is really interesting itinerary. One of the things that we realized, having done this for a while, is that agents have their own preferences, as well as customers, about how information is presented on itinerary. Some people like it day by day. Other people like it grouped by different inventory types, and others like to insert comments. And then you have also the problem on top of that that a lot of clients don't know what they want, and you end up sending multiple versions of itineraries. So we created this ability basically where you can create multiple versions of itineraries. You can actually move parts around, insert comments, create little headers, and create customized itineraries. They all get saved off in the system, so when they call back up and say, hey, you know that second itinerary you sent me last week? I think I like that one. You can find it, and you can obviously book the items or finish booking the items as required. So we try to provide, a very flexible way and easy way for agents to create, I think, very, very customer-centric itineraries and with presentations that really meet what a customer might want.
Right. Now, if I'm booking stuff via your system, I'm not booking with you. In other words, you're not functioning as a host agency, correct?
That's correct.
If I access RCI, for example, I believe that was one of the ones you mentioned, and I make a booking, you're not going to get a cut of that.
That's right. Again, keeping with the principle we've had, our business is to provide access. Our business is to provide you with a quality product. And one of the decisions we made was not to get involved with taking commissions on the backside. So we're not like a host agency where, we go and negotiate X percent and then give you part of that percentage and then we retain some portion. So we don't do that, nor do we take fees on the backside of transactions in the form of, hidden booking fees and things that really can affect what the agent ultimately can receive, because all that goes into the same pot and figuring out who gets what. So we made a decision to say, let's be pure, let's provide great value, let's be an access point, but let's not be a toll. So that's what we've tried to do and really focus more on generating the revenue by providing, by having suppliers advertise as opposed to get in the middle of that process.
Now, you mentioned GDS systems before. How does that work?
There's a couple of ways that can work. The GDSs offer things called service bureau agreements, which allows us to basically establish a pseudo connection with the GDS. So if you have a pseudo city number or what have you, we essentially become an agent for you for those credentials so that the GDS connection can be made available through the system.
Right. So once again, you have to have a pre-existing relationship with the GDS.
That's right.
Now,
that's
what
right.
if you work through a host agency that provides you access to a GDS? How does that work using Open Travel CRM?
In that case, and we've had this question on numerous occasions, when we're working with one particular host agency where the way that will work is essentially we'll go in and get the PNR information and pull that back into the system so the agent has a copy of the booking segments and information built into the system. The thing that we have to have is some level of cooperation ultimately from the host agency in order to facilitate as best we can full complete integration in the process, because there's also other booking sources that the host agency prefers to use that we'd like to make available, and then there's usually a reporting aspect associated with that so that the sales are reported up to the host agency. In that particular model, it does require some level of cooperation. So we've had, I think, our Open Travel fans. We've got now, I think we launched in second week of September, and we have now over 1,500 users, and we grow about 20 to 30 a day. We've starting to get quite a few of those requests, and our response is, well, go talk to your host agency, let them know you want to use it, because we'd love to work with them. And we don't want to interfere with their model either if we don't have
now,
to.
Now, how many suppliers do you have these relationships with that allow you to hook up their booking engine with your system?
Right now we've got about 10, and we'll be adding another 10 and then another 10 on top of that. So we'll try and keep adding blocks of suppliers to the process as we go along here.
One of how long have you been live, as it were?
We've been live since September 12th, so about 8 weeks, actually.
Yeah, so it's early days yet.
It's early days, and we've launched it in beta, and I will tell everybody that if you go to the system, I think you'll really like it a lot. But, there could be areas that, could probably work better. And so one of the things that we've tried to do and reach out to the user community and say, in essence, this is your application. So if you see things that you don't like or don't work, or you've got ideas to make it better, we're all ears, because we really want to make this thing be really successful and something that is really useful.
Right. It's interesting. I see that attitude, if you will, or that kind of business model more and more where a software company, whether it's on your residing on your computer or residing somewhere else, really makes an effort to create a sense of community and a dialogue with the customer base, and that's nice to hear. It sounds like this is a product that might be described as feature rich. Is that fair to say?
We like to think it is. One of the areas that we've tried to do is really separate ourselves from, I'll say, existing solutions, is really take advantage of the new technologies that are available and really help extend out some features that I think really can help benefit agents in establishing relationships with the customers. So,
right.
That
was actually a trick question, Joe, because I found that feature rich is often another way of saying complicated as all get out. You'll never be able to figure it out. So then I guess my question, I'm leading up to this next question.
I guess I answered it badly.
do you provide training?
Yes, we do. That's
and
one area
that
we
work?
Do. Yes, we do. We provide free training online, and we have user manuals that are free. Again, that was another decision we made. There's a whole cottage industry around some of these existing fee applications, which are designed to just extract more money in the form of training. So, we've made a decision to make that freely accessible online. We'll continue to add. We're still early. But we do have some decent training up there, and we'll keep adding more and more to it.
Okay. I hear that you're have some sort of integration with Facebook?
Yes. So actually,
as somebody who is, I mean, I've got all sorts of friends on Facebook now. I still don't get it. What is this going to do for me as a travel agent?
That's good. That's a good question. Facebook is an amazing yet simple, and I think, you know, the older you are, the more you scratch your head at it. But it's basically a very very fast growing social community on the web. And Facebook allows you to create a profile, and you can add in your friends and create basically connections between people, and you can share information, photos, and send each other, you know, messages and all kinds of things like that. Now,
well, would that mean I would then become Facebook friends with all of my clients? Is that the idea?
That is part of the idea. That's right. We want to have your clients be your friend, be your friends.
Isn't there a danger that once they become part of my Facebook community, they might, you know, it's like wandering into a singles bar. They might meet a travel agent they like better.
Well, the way that Facebook works is you have to invite people in. In other words, they are somewhat of a closed community as well as being open. So there's two sides to that. So in the case of where you have an existing profile, you want to basically extend yourself out into the community and have your customers be your friends if possible. Some of the advantages of that we have created by integrating with Facebook, which is interesting, is that if you have a client and they're your friend, you can also see their friends. So that gives you access to even a broader community potentially. One of the things that we've done is if you see friends online that are not part of your existing database, which is not, you know, uncommon, right, because somehow we separate a little bit of some of our friends from our customers, even though we have a large community of friends, we allow you basically to take that profile and import it from a click of a button into the CRM. So all of a sudden now you've brought in the profile of somebody who's out on Facebook with all their information, their likes, their contact information, and brought that into the system as well. One of the other things we've done with Facebook, which is really kind of cool, is which hopefully we'll be able to release in the next few weeks, is the ability to create groups. And you say, what the heck are you going to do with groups? But what we're working on is a way where if, say, you have an itinerary, you can publish that up into Facebook, have your friends who are going with you on that trip see that. So if you're going with, you know, on some kind of group trip or other, you know, large, you know, traveler group, allow people to share information, share photos, talk to one another, and do all those kind of things in a group community in a way that the agent is able to initiate. So it provides an extra value. And I think that overall, our overall objective, and we have a lot of what we call Web 2.0 features, where including things like desktop blogging. We have a blogging solution, which is free, which is part of the offering. Just really extend out the agent into some of these online communities.
There you go, getting feature rich again.
Yeah.
actually, you brought to mind a whole bunch of very interesting questions,
yeah.
But I think that's a discussion for another day. I just want to let people know that if you're listening on the web, there's a little place there where you can add or you can ask a question if you have any. Here's one. I have a number of sub-agents working under me. Can I use this application for all of them? I guess that means that for those of you who may not know, it's very possible these days to be a home-based agent and function as a host agency in your own right. So you might have some sub-agents working under you. And if I'm interpreting this correctly, I think the person is asking whether you could have them all in one pool so you as the host agency could have access to all of that in your sub-agent's records. Is that possible?
Absolutely. One of the things that we have set up in here is the ability to basically create an account and have multiple users with their own login credentials. The owner of that account can set it up so that they can see across all the users, but it could also be set up so the users don't have to see each other's stuff if you want it to be that way as well. So if each one of these sub-agents is acting independently, for example, and you can't have a mix, you know, a customer database, for example, that can be set up that way as well. We've also handled, you know, things like branches and multiple physical locations as well. So the application is really designed to scale up pretty well for those kind of things. So if that, you know, if there's any problem setting that up, please let us know. The application is designed to be used that way, so you shouldn't have any problem.
Okay. You know, I'm a little concerned here that we're making it sound so complex that unless you've got an advanced degree in information technology, it's really going to be hard to work with. And I assume that's not the case, right?
I can tell you this much, Kelly, is we've had people look at it, and it is feature rich, which, you know, I tremble now saying, but we've had people, many people look at it, and they will tell you, hands down, it's easy, it's intuitive to use, it's got a fresh, clean kind of user interface to it, and people seem to be finding it much more easy to use than some of the existing products that are out in the marketplace by a long shot.
Where would you say are your main competitive advantages over some of the other solutions that are out there?
Well, I think one of the top ones is obviously it's free. But more important than that, I think that the usability
with,
of the
with app- the exception, let's be clear here, with the exception of some add-ons that you're probably going to find you want or need.
Yeah, I think that you know, some of the areas that I think we excel is really integrating the marketing back into the customer profile when you send out offers. One of the things that we do is actually stick the offer back into the profile so that if a customer were to call, for example, you can access that offer. So you don't have to say, oh, I have no idea what you're talking about, or let me go find it on, you know, some list that you maybe stored off someplace deep in your computer. Each offer is stored off against each particular customer contact that you sent it to. The system, I think, is easy to use. I mean, I'll leave that judgment to your community. By all the feedback we've gotten, it's very intuitive and easy to use, and I think that's an advantage as well. And finally, it is feature-rich. I think it allows you to do a lot of stuff, and, you know, you can ease your way into it. You know, you can start off just by saving contacts and using the contact parts of the system. But overall, we've got things in there, I think, that are really, really powerful. One of the things that I think that I would point out, one of the things that we've done that I think nobody else has done, except you might see these features in very, very, very expensive, like Siebel, very, very expensive systems, is created a thing called opportunity management. And what that means is we understood and we figured out that a lot of the interactions you have with clients are long-running interactions. In other words, the number of times that somebody calls and says, hey, I want to go to X place and book it, and that same phone call are probably not that high. And they're usually more of a shopping process, a consideration process where they're considering different information and alternatives and all those kind of things. And what we've provided is a way for you to track that process, those opportunities as they unfold, and allow you to basically walk through step-by-step the process of getting those closed up and completed. So we think we've provided some real-world functionality as well.
That's terrific. Now, does that come in with is the sort of the sales process built into that? In other words, it reminds you to qualify the person. It reminds you to do this, that, and the other.
Yeah, and one of the very first things it does is it has a section. There's an opportunity management section, which basically, once the call comes in, you qualify them. You know, it allows you to qualify them as to who they are. You know, are they young, old? Do they have kids? They don't have kids. What do they like? What they don't like? Now, you don't have to go through all that. Where they want to travel, but as much information as you can extract, it allows you to create that opportunity and save it off. Once it's saved off, it asks you, what do you want to do next? Are you supposed to schedule a new meeting, a next meeting with them? Should you send them out some brochures? What are the things that you have to do? And it leads you through that process and keeps track of them. So it provides you with a way to basically remind you of what the next steps are in order to complete and get to a sale, hopefully.
Wow.
So we think that's a value, you know, and it translates into really, I think, good customer service from the customer perspective, because they see that you're on top of what they need and being responsive to it.
Well, this hour has really kind of flown by. I was worried that we were going might not be able to find enough to talk about, but that certainly hasn't been a problem. But again, I'm going to just ask you to do, if you can, I hope I'm not really putting you on the spot here, just pick one thing that somebody who's relatively new to the business, who may not have 450 clients, what is something they can do with this system and start seeing some results within a short period of time?
Well, there are a couple of different things that you could certainly do. I think the top one is everybody has contacts. As crazy as that sounds, they have contacts, okay? So the very first thing I would be doing, if you're getting new in the business, is figure out who you know. And the number of people you know is a lot more than you think you know once you put your mind to it. Get those people into the system. Let them know you exist. Let them know what you're all about. The other thing you can do is
and that would be through using the built-in bulk email.
Absolutely. And in that case, I mean, depending on how many customers or contacts that you have, you might even send them personal contacts, you know, that are a little more personalized. The second thing I would do is create a newsletter, okay, which is easy to do in the system, and start sending out information about who you are, what value you provide, what insights you have about travel, how you can help those prospective people, because that process of engaging and communicating with the outside world is the most basic way to begin your business.
Right.
And those are all ways that you can.
If I already have an existing thing, whether it's, you know, my Outlook thing or whatever, there's a way of importing that my existing information into your system.
That's correct. There's an import from Outlook. So if you store Outlook contacts, that's one way to you can certainly there's a migration or import function built into the system where you can do that right as well. And those will be stored off and all the information stored off as well. So you can start building that contact base that way as well.
That's really great. And that at that simple level, it's not going to cost you a penny.
It doesn't cost you a penny.
Terrific. Well, that's good to know. Now, I assume that if people go to www.opentravelcrm.com, they're going to be able to find stuff that will walk them through everything we've just talked about. And, I mean, do you have a live demo there online or something like that?
The great thing is because it's free, you can just register and start playing with it. There's also online training available there in the form of both PDFs as well as in the form of online videos. So you can do that too. And we'll be adding more and more to those.
That's terrific. Well, listen, Joe, thank you so much for your time. We've been talking with Joe Mazzarella, who is the president and CEO of Travel Sciences, which is this what certainly looks like a fabulous little product here called Open Travel CRM. It's customer relations management web-based, and it's free, except for some of those add-ons, which I'm sure you're going to want. But thank you so much for your time, Joe. It's really,
you've been a great host, Kelly, and generous.
You've
been a wonderful host, and thanks, everybody who's been listening. I appreciate it very much.
Yes, and I would just like to say to the folks listening that we're going to have more of these coming up. You can go to hometravelagency.com and scroll down, and you'll see the link to the teleseminars page. We also have previous teleseminars archived on the Internet, as this one will be. And while you're there, if you haven't yet availed yourself of my home study course for home-based travel agents, I hope you'll give it a look and think about investing in it. And until next time, I will say good evening, and thank you so much for listening in. Good night.